And we're holding on Bay's Omid Bay's seven lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Ehei Noe Nozir, that if a person says, I will be Noe, which means beautiful, meaning in other words that he's going to beautify himself with his long hair, then Nozir, then he becomes a Nozir as a result of that. And we said yesterday, actually, that there was an explanation from Rabbeinu Avraham Minahor, who says that the Lashon that he said was actually Ehei Noe Nozir, I will be a beautiful Nozir. So, but apparently the Gemara is assuming that he just said the word Noe. So the question is, the question is Viduma and Noe lefon of the mitzvahs. How do we know that the word Noe, like this one, he says, Hey Noe, I will be beautiful. How do we know that it means that I would be beautiful as far as being a Nozir? Maybe he means that he's taking a promise on himself that he will be beautiful before Hashem in mitzvahs. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in the Braisa, that when the Pasuk says, Ze keli van veyu, this is my God, we say in the Shira Sayam, and I, one meaning of van veyu is, and I will make him beautiful. So we learn in a Braisa, it means, and not in the fun of the mitzvahs. It means that a person should be saying, I will be beautiful before Hashem with mitzvahs. So usually the expression in other places in Chas is, his not in the fun of the mitzvahs, be beautiful before Hashem with mitzvahs. In fact, Chagoy Sabach changes that. Well, Chagoy Sabach changes it to Es No Elefanov, which also means I will be. Whatever the case, it means, for example, Es Elefanov Sukkah Noah, that we say we accept on ourselves that we will make a beautiful sukkah. We won't just be limit ourselves to the bare minimum. We'll make it beautiful in that it's that we're making it more besrachos within the dinim of sukkah. Lulav Noah, a beautiful lulav, tzitzis Noah, I'll make beautiful tzitzis, echter the fun of Sefer Torah Noah, I'll write for Hashem a beautiful Sefer Torah, v'achrechenu b'shiroyin noyim, and I'll wrap it in nice silks and a nice mantle. So the point is, in other words, when he says, Ehei Noah, what makes us say that he's referring, in fact, to Nezirus? Maybe he's referring to one, to some other aspect of these mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers, Amashmul, Shatofus Poseidos, a Shmuel answers, we're talking about that he's holding on to his hair, Va'oma and Noah, and he says that I will be beautiful. So now he's showing with that he means to, that he's saying that a mitzvah that has to do with my hair, is something that, so that's what he means by a hey, no. So now the Rosh points out, that it, here, unlike now, when we had before in the Mishnah, when we said Ehei Hareza Nozir, and we learned yesterday that it means that a Nozir is walking by in front of him, here actually that wouldn't work. So the Rosh and Tosfos say that the difference is when he says Ehei, that's not even a complete sentence. So here the Rosh says that when he says Ehei. So then we asked yesterday, could it mean, definitely though, it means something about me. I will be such and such. So now the only question is he talking about a Nozir, or is he talking about Nezir, or so is he talking about a fast? With a Nozir walking by in front of him, it means that he wants his goof to be like that of the Nozir. When it comes to the word Noah, the question is, sure, Noah means I will be beautiful. But what exactly does it mean? Does it mean that that he's going to be beautiful, that I myself am going to be beautiful in Nozir, or am I going to be beautiful as far as mitzvahs? So the fact that a Nozir is walking in front of him does not, in other words, the Rosh says the suffix really is in the word Noah. So once he's holding on to his hair, then he shows that he means, what kind of Noah do I mean? The mitzvah that involves my hair. In fact, the Rosh goes on to say, it wouldn't even require, unlike we learned yesterday in the end, as far as the Ehei, that it requires not only that the Nozir is walking in front of him, but also that Ka'oma Beliba, also that he's thinking in his mind, the word Nozir, here that wouldn't even be necessary. The fact that he's holding on to his hair and that he says Ehei Noah, that altogether makes it that absolutely there's no other way of explaining it. But on the other hand, if it was just that but if he wasn't holding on to his hair, then Fakut, even if he thinks in his mind with the word Noah that I will be a Nozir, then it doesn't count because it's not a valid declaration of Nazirus. Tosfos says basically the same idea, but they mentioned the point that the word ahenor is a complete sentence. So as opposed to ahay was just a partial sentence. So when he says ahay and there's a nozer walking in front of him, then yeah, we can fill in that it means ahay, I will be like that person. But when he says ahenor, which is a complete sentence, then we need to know what kind of nor, and the only way to do that is for him to be actually holding on to his hair when he says that. Okay, so the Gemara asks, now, the question is, nazira milsa da avera. The question isn't being a nazir is an avera? Because we learned in Nedarim many times that the person is really not supposed to make a neder. And the same thing as far as nazirus, the Gemara is going to go on to say that it's really, in many cases, not really appropriate to take on a neder of nazirus. We're going to have an armasechta similar to the way we had in Nedarim, that sometimes people would take on nazirus for frivolous reasons. So you have, for example, the story with the younger man, with Shimon HaTzadik, who took it on for the right reasons. We're going to have that later on. We're going to have that later on in our parak. But still, on the whole, of course, most people are not doing that. So Nazirus is really a matter of Avera. Are we saying then that we should call it something beautiful? How can we say that the word Noah, we were talking about yesterday that the word Noah means beautiful in the sense of grow his hair long and beautiful. But if it's an Aveda to do that, how can we, as a matter of Torah, call it Noah and say that the word Noah can constitute a valid acceptance of Nazirus? Both Tosfos and the Rosh bring a different alternate girsa. The word is not Da'aveira with a resh, but rather Da'avida, which means something that's usually done. And so therefore they explain that an alternate way of explaining the Gemara is Nazirus something that really should be done, that we're telling him that he should be doing it. And then there's one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Azriel, wrote a Pirush on Nazir, which is used a lot when people learn this Masechta. He says that actually the Gemara may not be asking a question, but rather making a statement of fact. So yes, Nazirus is milsa da'avida, v'aminan le'noah. It is in fact a thing that is commonly done, and we do in fact call him Noah for it. But again, according to the Rosh and Tosfos, it's really a question, and the answer according to them is ain, yes. And according to Rabbeinu Azriel, you don't have the yes, because according to him, we're not asking the question, answering it. But according to everybody else, the Gemara is saying ain, yes. Da'afilu l'Rabbi Lazar HaKapo. You should know that even according to Rabbi Lazar HaKapo, the Amon Nazir Chote, where he says, as we're going to have a couple of times in our parak, or in later parak, we're going to have a number of times in our Masechta, that Rabbi Lazar HaKapo says a Nazir is considered a Chote. We touched on it in the Dorim as well. The Pasuk says about a Nazir who became Tomei, the Pasuk says on him, V'chiper olav masha chota ala nafesh. The Kohen should make a kapara for him for the fact that he sinned against his soul. So in what way did he sin? What did he do wrong? So one explanation is that he became Tomei, and that's why he's bringing these karbanos. But Rabbi Lazar HaKapo says that actually he's a chote in the fact that he deprived himself of wine. As we've learned a bunch of times in Nedarim, if a person feels that he needs to deprive himself of something, let him do it without a neder. We talked about towards the end, we talked about a sicha, where the Rebbe analyzes the different degrees in that. You could have a person who feels the need to make a neder. You can have a higher level where he doesn't need to make a neder, he just asks himself in it, and you have the highest level of all where he knows how to use the resource for Kedusha and doesn't need to deprive himself of it at all. So Rabbi Lazar HaKapo says that a nozer is a chote, but the Gemara says, Hani mila gab a nozer tome. That would only primarily apply to a nozer tome. So when he became tome and he has to start over as Nazirus, the ID, the boy mister, since he has to drop all the days that he did until now, they don't count towards his Nazirus, and he has to start all over again. As in fact the Pasuk says that the first days, the earlier days that he counted till he became Tomei, will fall away because his crown of his hair became Tomei. So we say Hosamhu. So that in that case, Rabbi Lazar HaKapo calls him a Chote, Dilma Osi Lemever al Nazirus, because he may be over on his Nazirus. because the Nazirus is going to last longer than expected. So therefore, he may be over on it again. He may be over on one or another of the Surim of the Nazir. he may even regret the fact that he ever took his Nazirus in the first place. So that's in the story of Shimon HaTzadik and the Bachar. So we say that there Shimon HaTzadik was happy with him. He says, since he accepted it, L'shem Shemayim, then we know he's not going to regret it, even though in this case, inadvertently, somehow he became Tameh. But with a regular Nazir, we don't know that that's the case. So there's a higher likelihood that he's going to regret it or that he's going to be over on his Nazirus. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar HaKafka calls him a Choyt. Avon Nazir Tahar. But when it comes to a Nazir Tahu who successfully goes through his Nazirus and brings his Korbanus, so Lav Choyte Kori Bey, Rabbi Elazar HaKafka would not call him, Rabbi Elazar HaKafka would not call him a Choyte. Now, Tosfos asks the question that in various other places in Shas, where it brings the statement of Rabbi Elazar HaKafka, it does seem to say that, in fact, he is talking about even a Nazir who successfully completed his Nazirus, that Rabbi Elazar HaKafka calls him a Choyte. So what are we saying over here that it applies only to one who became Tameh? The context of the Pasuk, by the way, is talking about one who became Tameh, but still, in other places, the Gemara seems to assume that just the fact that he took on Nazirus and deprived himself of wine is enough to call him a Choyte. Well, then the question is, again, so why are we calling him Noah over here? But the question is, in other words, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Elazar HaKafka's statement only applies to a Nazir Tameh, but in other places in Shas, the implication is that it applies to a Nazir Tahar as well. So Tosfos answers, it's true. Rabbi Elazar HaKafka does consider him a Choyte regardless, but at least if he does his Nazirus successfully, if he actually went through it successfully without becoming Tameh, yes, there's a bit of a chet involved. But the mitzvah that he took on Nazirus, which after all is a mitzvah, there's actually the Rambam lists altogether 10 mitzvahs that apply to the Nazir. So he's fulfilling a number of mitzvahs. So that outweighs the chet that we're talking about in it. Therefore, we have a reason to call him Noah. In other places in the Gemara, that point is not relevant. So therefore, we're focusing more on the fact that according to Rabbi Elazar HaKafka was a chet regardless. But in our Gemara, we're trying to figure out how we can call him Noah. So at least with a Nazir Tahar, the fact that he successfully did his Nazirus and wasn't over on it at all outweighs the bit of the Avera that's involved in becoming a Nazir. Whereas if he became Tomei, then you don't even have that. Okay, so that's the answer how we can call him Noah. Next, the Gemara says, Harini Kazeh. Now, another case we said in the Mishnah is, and by the way, also, Tosfos points out earlier, now we had so far two different things. We had when he says Ehei, then he becomes a Nazir, we said the necessary prerequisite is that a Nazir is walking in front of him. And we said in the Gemara also that he's thinking in his mind, in fact, that he plans to become a Nazir. Because, as the Rosh points out a little further on, otherwise, even if in the next case in the Gemara, we're going to talk about it, he was going to say, I'm going to be like this person. Maybe he means I'm going to be like him in some other way. Maybe it means I'm going to be rich like him. Maybe it means I'm going to be famous like him. So in the case of Ehei, we said there has to be a Nazir going in front of him, and that he's thinking that he's going to actually become a Nazir, whereas with a Hey Noah, we said it's not necessary for a Nazir to be in front of him. All that's necessary is he's holding on to his hair. And we said he doesn't even have to think the word Nazir in his mind. Tosfos says that is why the Mishnah divided them up in two. In the Mishnah, we learned, Ha'omer Ehei Harei Zeh Nazir. And also, if he says Ehei Noah, then Nazir. So why does the Mishnah split them up? Why not just say Ehei Noah, then he's a Nazir. So now we see the answer, because those two involve two different scenarios. One is that a Nazir is walking in front of him, and the other one is that he's holding on to his hair when he says it. So the Gemara continues. When the Mishnah said, another example where he could become a Nazir is when he says, Hareni Kazeh, I will be like this person. So the question is, Nehi Nami Yitofus Besarei, granted, yes, he's holding on to his hair, Hareni Kazeh Loi Omar. But on the face of it, he did not say Hareni Kazeh. Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, a bunch of the Mefarshim ask on here. What do you mean? He didn't say Hareini Kazeh. He actually says that. He says the words Hareini Kazeh. That's the Mishnah quoted him saying those words. So in fact, Tosfos says that seems to be a mistake. How can the Gemara be saying Hareini Kazeh like Omar when it says it explicitly in the Mishnah? A number of the Mefarshim on the side. Hagoyes Ma'arav Ranshburg and others say that maybe the word in the Gemara is not supposed to be koze, but rather boze, with this. Koze would mean like this, boze would mean with this. That's the question. On the face of it, he didn't say Hareini boze. So even if he's holding, and so that's the Gemara is asking, even if he's holding on to his hair, what do you mean Hareini boze? I am in this. I am in this what? And he didn't say Hareini boze, or just the opposite. Maybe if he said Hareini boze, then fine. But the Mishnah says he says Hareini koze. I am like this. Like who? And the answer is, again, Omar Shmuel can show you Nazir over the front of. Again, the answer is that a Nazir was going in front of him. So koze, like this, means that I'm going to be like this one. Nevertheless, though, the point is that the Gemara was assuming that even Hareini Kaze is not enough, even if he's holding on to his hair. So now it means that a Nazir was walking in front of him. And so Tosfos says that actually he wouldn't even need to be holding on to his hair. The Rosh points out that after all, saying Hareini Kaze, it could conceivably mean I will be like this person in some other way. The Rosh says like this, the Chiddush is you have to ask if he's holding on to his hair and a Nazir is walking in front of him and he says Hareini Kazeh, of course he's a Nazir, what's the Chiddush? And the answer is, even so, you might have thought that maybe he means Hareini Kazeh, I want to be like this person in some other way. He's rich, I plan to be rich. He's whatever, I plan to be whatever. But the combination of all these things makes him, a Nazir.
He could have had in mind money, but he's the one who knows.
But still, again, we said before, you have to have an actual, there still has to be an actual declaration that constitutes Nazir. So if he says Hareini Kazeh and there's a Nazir going in front of him, then that's enough. That makes him a Nazir. So Tosfos says that means he wouldn't even need to be holding on to his hair for that to work. Just he sees the Nazir going by and says Hareini Kazeh, and like before, also he's thinking in his mind that it means that I'll be a Nazir, then that's in fact what it means. It doesn't require Tosfos Basara.
The word bazer, does that make sense in Pshat?
Bazer would mean in this or with this.
That's what
the Gemara was assuming, that maybe we're talking about he's holding on to his hair. So if he said Hareini Bozeh, fine. But he said, if he's saying Hareini Kozeh on the face of it,
That's good.
Yeah, so, but Hareini Bozeh on the face of it wouldn't, on the face. That's the thing. You have the different Gersois over here. And again, according to, Hagoyes Ma'arav Ranshburg points out that an earlier prince of the Gemara, it did in fact say Bozeh, not Kozeh. So the question would be then, in other words, that if he didn't say the word Hareini Bozeh, I will be a Nazir with this, holding on to his hair would mean with this. He was saying Hareini Kazeh, I will be like this. So the question is then what good does it do? I will be like this, but like who? And the answer is a Nazir is walking in front of him, and therefore he means I'm going to be like that guy.
Right. So the Tekaza, I understand in Pshat that it means if there's a guy walking by who's another. But when you say Bazeh, that also indicates.
So yeah. Bazeh would have meant, so that the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara is assuming that Bazeh would mean with this, and maybe if he's holding on to his hair and saying Bazeh, then that would be enough. But the question was that the Mishnah didn't say that he said Bazeh. So yeah, it would come out, in other words, according to the Gemara's Hava Amina, maybe Bazeh would be better. Well, not really better. In the Hava Amina, the Gemara was assuming that Bazeh would be better because he's actually holding on to his hair and saying, I will be with this, meaning I will be a Nazir involving my hair. But Kozeh, on the face of it, wouldn't. And the answer is, when there's a Nazir going in front of him, then it's the other way around. The Nazir going in front of him means that Kozeh now has a meaning, means I will be like that guy. Bozeh, he would have to be holding on to his hair, Rapashtus, for it to be a Nazir.
But if he has the word Bozeh, he passes a Nazir.
If he sees Bozeh and passes a Nazir, nothing's going to happen because, I will be a Nazir with this. What does that mean? Yeah. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Hareini Misalsel. The Mishnah had said another example that he could become a Nazir is if he says the words Hareini Misalsel, which means we said yesterday, I'll curl and play around with my hair. So that's the Gemara says, Mimai dehadein silsil saira. So how do we know, where do we see that the word silsil refers to hair? So we have the example we mentioned yesterday. We find that the maidservant of Rebbe said to a certain man, where she saw him playing around with and curling his hair, and she said to him, how long are you going to be curling around and playing around with your hair? So we see, in other words, that silsil means that. And in fact, like I said yesterday, the Gemara in a few places says that the Chachamim didn't even know what the word meant until they heard Amsa Debei Rebbe say that, and now they knew. However, the Gemara asks, Ema Torah. But by the way, Rebbe himself says, there's Gemara in Baba Kama, where Rebbe says, in Eretz Yisrael, why would you bother speaking Lashon Sursi, which is a dialect of Aramaic that many Jews spoke in Eretz Yisrael, if you want to either speak Lashon Kodesh or speak Greek? Those are the two prestigious languages in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashtos, in other words, the point would be that most of the Chachamim of Rebbe's time spoke Aramaic in their day-to-day language, but in Rebbe's house, they spoke Lashon Kodesh, and therefore even his maidservant becomes familiar with less common words in Lashon Kodesh. Yeah. Anyway.
I thought you're not allowed to speak Lashon Kodesh. What are you talking about?
Well, when they started reviving Hebrew about 150 or so years ago, the Rebbe Rashab and various other Gdolei Yisrael were very against it because the idea that they're going to be using it for mundane purposes. But in Rebbe's times, you know, Rebbe himself is going to be using it for purposes of Kedusha and his family as well. And I guess Rebbe felt, Rebbe holds in that Gemara and Baba Kama, that in his times, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael were still on a high enough level that they could. The fact is, during the time of the first place Mikdash, no question about it, they spoke Lashon Kodesh. The entire Tanakh almost all of Tanakh is written in Lashon Kodesh. That were where we have conversations and things that are reported that they spoke in Lashon Kodesh. In later times, we're saying maybe people are not on the level to be using it.
That's not a question. The question is, halachically, is it allowed or it's not allowed to speak Lashon Kodesh? That's the question.
But you have to be using it for purposes of Kedusha.
Yeah. What do you mean you have to use it? So it's not allowed other than for purposes of Kedusha.
But if you're in Rebbe's household, or if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and
I'm not asking in Rebbe's household. I'm asking the halacha.
What's the halacha? The halacha is that you're allowed to. There's no actual halacha anywhere that says you're not allowed to use Lashon Kodesh for mundane purposes. It's not appropriate to, and that's why the Rebbe Rashab was against it, was against them reviving modern Hebrew, taking Lashon Kodesh and turning it into modern Hebrew.
The Rebbe Rashab was against the creation of Israel or people
that's
living
also,
in Israel even.
That's true also. He wasn't against living in
Israel. So maybe he was also, what?
He was not against living in Eretz Yisrael at all, just the opposite. He founded a yeshiva there in Hebron, yeshiva Teres Emes. He was against political Zionism, but that's a discussion for another time. Let's go on. The Gemara asks, Ema Torah. The question is, still, the word misalsil could also mean to delve into Torah. Dichtiv salsaleho asurei memecha. As the Pasuk says, delve into it, turn it over, like in Pirkei Avos, hafach b'vafach b'asurei memecha, and the Torah will exalt you. So maybe when the person says Hareini Masalsil, it means that he's accepting on himself that he's going to delve into Torah and he's going to learn Torah ba'amkus. And the answer is again, Omer Shmuel, Hochanami Shetofus Besarei. Again, Shmuel says we're talking about that he's holding on to his hair, so therefore it's clear that he means Hareini Masalsil in connection with his hair. Okay. Similarly, the Gemara says when he said Hareini Mechalkel, so we said Hareini Mechalkel also constitutes a neder of Nezirus. So Mimai de Hoden Kilkel Sairehu. Again, how do we know the word Kilkel refers to hair? Kedetan. So we have a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah goes through various, we know that when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, there's minimum amounts of each kind of thing that a person is chayav for carrying. If in general, if a person carries less than these shiurim, then he's potter. It's still also for him to do, but he's potter from chatos or whatever the other consequences are of Chilul Shabbos. And so the Mishnah goes through a bunch of different things, explaining what the minimum amounts for are each one of them. And one of them is sid. If a person carries out on Shabbos plaster, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei, so you have a few different opinions, and one of them is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Losud Kilkul. Rabbi Yehuda says it would have to be enough plaster to plaster Kilkul. So the idea is you have a woman in particular will have hair on her temples by the sides of her head, about where a man has his payas, that she wants to remove. So she would put plaster on it, and eventually, like you have nowadays, like they do waxing. So a similar concept. So you'd put plaster on it, and eventually the plaster would dry, and you'd pull it off, and the hair would come with it. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's the minimum amount of plaster that for most people would be considered useful, and therefore a person would be chayev for carrying it on Shabbos. V'omar Rav bas tzida, and Rav says that's what we're referring to, is we're referring to the hair on the temples, or bas tzida actually would mean a little lower down on the cheeks. Whatever the case, the point is that so therefore we see that the word kilkul is associated with hair. So now the growth of hair. So now when he says hareni machalkul, it means that he's saying I will grow my hair. The question is, ema mezan aniye. On the other hand, the word kilkul also means to support poor people. So maybe he means that. Maybe he means he's taking on himself a declaration that he'll support poor people. As we find that Yosef supported his father and his brothers during the famine. And again, again, we're talking about over here that he's holding on to his hair. So therefore, it's clear that he means the kilkul that has to do with hair. And a third one. If he says that I am obligating myself, so literally the shaleach means to send, and pera means a growth of hair. So hareza nazir, then we're saying that he's nazir. So the word l'shaleach, though, the Gemara is going to start with the understanding that it means to increase. L'shaleach pera then would mean to increase my growth of hair. Well, then again, first of all, where do we see that the word shiluach refers to increasing? Because you have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says your shlochayich, your gardens where you grow paris, or paris rimonim, are an orchard of pomegranates. So you see, in other words, that shlochayich, the place where you grow fruit, is paris rimonim. Well, the problem is, maybe on the contrary, maybe the word l'shaleach means to remove. So maybe on the contrary, maybe it means that he plans, that he's making a promise that he will shave his hair when the time comes. But that doesn't in and of itself constitute a neder of nazirus. People can shave their hair for any number of reasons. Because you have a pasuk that says that Hashem sends out water to all the outlying areas. The Gemara mentions in Tainus that it means that Hashem sends rain to Eretz Yisrael, and all the other lands eventually benefit from it. So in other words, Hashem takes the water from one place to another. So maybe it means v'sheleach means to send away, to remove it. So maybe he means I'm going to remove my pera, I'm going to remove my growth of hair. So the answer is tana pera yalef. The answer is the Tana of the Mishnah is actually learning a gzera shava on the word pera. Ksiv hocha kodesh yegado pera, because by the nazir the expression is he will be holy, he has to grow his hair as pera. You have a pasuk in Yechezkel referring to the Kohen Hedyot and telling us some dinim about them. Now, of course, we know Yechezkel living long after the Torah was given. He's not making up new halachas. He's telling us in writing halachas that were up until then, halach l'Moshe Mesinai, and unwritten, and he's writing down a few of them for us, a few of the dinim of a Kohen's service in the Beis Hamikdash. And he uses the expression, u'pera lo yishaleichu, they should not grow a pera. And we learn from that, in fact. So in fact, what we actually learn is, so first of all, the point is it used the word yishalechu over there. We actually learn the gzeira shava in both directions, kind of. What we say is, since, as we're going to learn in a couple of blot, the minimum term of nazirus is 30 days, from that we learn that a pera is defined as a growth of hair of 30 days. And because it says over here that since by the Kohen it says pera lo yishaleichu, so we learn from that that when he says harei alai the shaleach pera, then yes, it's going to mean to grow his hair. Tosfos actually says then that what it is really that when the Gemara says tana pera pera yalef, that he's learning the gzeira shava from the word pera, we're actually starting with the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. There's a Mishnah there that says that a Kohen Hedyot has to cut his hair once every 30 days, and we learn that from the Nazir. Once we've done that, once we've established what a pera is, then we can go back over here and establish that the word shiluach in connection with pera does not mean to remove it, because when Yechezkel says about the Kohenim, ofer alo yishalechu, he doesn't mean they shouldn't cut their hair, adrabe, he means they have to cut it every 30 days, they may not grow it they may not let it grow more than 30 days. Then therefore we learn from that over here also, when he says, that he means that I'm going to grow my hair for a minimum of 30 days, which is Nazirus. Which Tosfos goes on to say, in other words, that if we, it's not so much that we need a Gzeira Shava from the word, Pera. The fact is, the word by the Kohen themselves, we see that the word Loi Pera Loi Shalechu means to not grow your hair. If the Gemara is just trying to establish over here that the word Harei Alai the Shaleach Pera means to grow it, then we don't really need a Gzeira Shava. Tosfos says, fine, but if you didn't have the Gzeira Shava, then you wouldn't know how many days it is. Maybe any number of days growing your hair is considered Shiluach Pera. Once we learn the Gzeira Shava, that a Kohen Hediot has to cut his hair every 30 days, and we learn it from a Nazir, now in turn we understand that the Shaleach Pera means, in other words, that he means to accept on himself that I will grow my hair for a minimum of 30 days, that being the definition of Pera, and that means that he's accepting the Zeros on himself. Tosfos also adds one thing, by the way, another point. If he were to just say Harei Olai Pera, then nothing would happen, because the word Pera, the Shurish Pera, can also mean to uncover. Ufora Asrosha Isha, by the Sota, the Kohen uncovers the woman's head. So if he said Harei Olai Pera, that would not constitute a neder of Nazir. So he would have to say the Shaleach Pera in order for it to be valid. The Shaleach means to grow. That's what we're saying. We're establishing that the word the Shaleach means to grow. And the Gemara says, "V'boisema." Another point. You can say also, "Hai shaleach mayim nami ribuihu." You can say you're asking from the word "v'shaleach mayim ap mechutzis," where it seems to imply removing, transferring the water from one place to another. So you're asking that the shaleach pera conceivably could mean that he'll remove his hair. No, in fact, "shaleach mayim nami" shaleach mayim also ribuihu also refers to growing fruit. Kedimatagim Rabbi Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef translates it, we find all over Shas that Rabbi Yosef was an expert in the Targum. Dekad Mashkin Le Maya the Pera, that when you water the fruit, the Ravi, and it grows. So we see, in fact, the Shaleach Maim Apnei Chutzis actually means that Hashem causes the fruit to grow, that not just in Shalachayach Pardes Rimonim, but also in the Shaleach Maim Apnei Chutzis. The word Shaleach means to grow. Hashem sends rain, and the result of it is Shaleach, the result of it is that fruit, that fruit grows. Which, in other words, Tosfos says that for both the Rosh and Tosfos say the Gemara is not saying we don't need the Gzeira Shava anymore. The fact is, without the Gzeira Shava, we still would have said that we still could have thought that the word l'shaleach pera means to cut his hair or to do something else. After all, we have many psukim where the shorash sholach clearly means to send away. The Gemara was just bothered by the fact is we seem to have a pasuk of l'shaleach mayim apnei chutzis where instead of understanding it as growing, It seems to be understood as removing. So in that case, maybe shlochayich pardes rimonim would be related to that. After all, shlochayich would mean a field that is irrigated, a field that's watered. So then you'd say the same thing. It means that the water is removed from there. In fact, all over Shas, you have the concept called beis hasholchin, which is a field that needs to be irrigated because otherwise it's dry. So maybe shlochayich means a place that's otherwise dry, that's moved of water. So then it would come out that you don't have a single pasuk that ever means where sholach ever means to grow. And so the Gemara is answering that no, on the contrary, the pasuk v'shaleach mayim can be understood to mean to grow. Once we have that, then yes, we can also understand shlochayich pardes rimonim to also refer to growing. And then in that case, then we have psukim that show that l'shaleach pera means to grow. And therefore we can say that when he made that neder, it means that he's going to grow it. And it means also by the koyanim, it means that they're not allowed to grow their hair more than a certain amount of time.
Right, so those fields, you have to manually...
See, after those fields, you have to
water. That makes things grow.
Right, exactly. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, by the way, there was a fascinating explanation from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father. You have in his Chidushim of Yoram L'Shas and Teres Levi Yitzchak, you have a section on the Sech of Nazir. So he does have a few different explanations of various Gemaras in Nazir. One of them is he points out an interesting point over here. We just had three declarations that the person might say that all involve his hair, that in his wording, somehow he's mentioning his hair. Harini Masalsil, I'll curl my hair. Harini Machalko, I'll grow my hair. Or Harei Alai, the Shaleach Pera, which means he said, I'll grow a growth of hair. With the first two of them, we said it means that he has to be holding on to his hair. And with the third one, we did not. And he points out there's other details as well. The first one, we had to bring a proof from a woman, from Amsa Debei Rebbe. The second one, we brought a proof from Yosef. The third one, we're not bringing proofs from any people. So he has a long explanation of Kabbalah about the deeper idea behind all of this. It's far too long and far too complicated to explain. But he explains that the first two have to do with Bina, and they have to do with Leah and Rachel, and therefore they're more associated with for the first one with a woman, Amsa Debei Rebbe, and the second one with Yosef, who's from Rachel, whereas the third one represents Das. He says the word pera is the same letter as oref, which means the back of the head, which is where we find in various places. Das is associated more with the back of the brain. That's why, for example, the knot of the tefillin is there. We have, for example, parei osius ha'oref, that parei was against das of kedusha, and he's like the back of the neck, which is being stubborn and stiff-necked against Hashem, and so on and so forth. Another point he makes in connection with that, both the word mesalsal and mechalkel have within them the meaning of a keli, because the word mesalsal, the basic shirdish is samach lamed, which means a basket. Sal is a basket. The basic meaning of the basic shirdish of kalkel, which we're repeating, is kol, which means all. So therefore, like you have in a certain sense, like we're pnimiyas yinyanim, we're referring to kalim for bina, and then you have the third one about l'shalayach pera, which is associated with das. You don't need him to be holding on to his hair, and you don't need you have proofs from psukim rather than from things that people did, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Next, the Mishnah had said, Harei alat Tziporin, that if a person says, I obligate myself to bring birds, Rameyo oimen nazir, so Rameyo says that's enough to make him a nazir, so we learned yesterday that a nazir tamei brings birds as part of his korban. But the Gemara asks, my time did Rameyo, but still, why does Rameyo say that? I mean, maybe he just means that he plans to bring birds as a voluntary korban.
But for a positive, not from a negative.
Yeah. the answer is, Omer Shlokish. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. The first answer is, Omer Shlokish. What it means is actually that he accepted on himself, when he uses the word siporim, what he actually means is siporim that are in connection with hair. Where do we find the thing? You have a pasuk by Nebuchadnezzar. You have the whole story over there where he had a dream about a tree that was chopped down and tied and then bound up with chains and so on and so forth, and stump is left. And he asks Daniel to interpret it. And Daniel tells him it means that you are too much of a Baal Gaiva. You think you run the world rather than the Eivishter. So therefore, you're going to become crazy. You're going to run away. You're going to live with the animals for several years. And you're going to be without, and be insane. Eventually, you'll realize that the Eivishter runs the world. And then you'll get your kingship back. That's why he said, saw the stump there left of the tree. Because you will regrow in your kingship. Anyway, the kitzur, it eventually happened. He went crazy. He ran off and lived among the animals in the forest. And the pasuk says he lived there so long, adi sare kinishrin riva, until his hair grew as long as the feathers of eagles, v'tifrohi kitziporin, and his nails grew as long as the nails, as the claws of birds. So we see, in other words, that you have a connection in that pasuk between his hair and siporin. So therefore, the mayor says that when he's saying tziporim, so even if he just said tziporim stam, even that, the Shlokish holds that a person might have in mind tziporim that are in the posuk in connection with hair. So what he would mean is, to be exact, he would mean a mitzvah that has to do, now the fact is, Tosfos and the Rosh both say, it's not just the fact that the word siporim and the word hair come together in the pasuk. Otherwise, the Mishnah could have also said, for example, that if he mentions nails, or if he mentions eagles, because after all, those are closer to hair in the pasuk. The order of the nouns in the pasuk is hair, eagles, nails, and birds. So eagles and nails are closer to birds, and yet we don't find in the Mishnah that if he says Harei Alai Nishrin or Harei Alai Tifroi, which is the Aramaic word for fingernails, that he should become a nazir. Only we're saying hair.
Well, no,
that's the point. In other words, so that's the point. It's not just the fact that the word is adjacent in the pasuk to birds. It's the fact that we're talking about a mitzvah that has to do with hair and which is mentioned in the same pasuk as birds. So the mayor is taking the view then that if a person says tziporim, then he has in mind a mitzvah that has to do with so the mayor holds then that a person can be makis, a person can use in his loshen when he makes a neder something that is something that's near it in the pasuk. So when he says harei olai tziporim, we understand that it means that he plans to accept something on himself that involves also hair, because you have both hair and tziporim in the pasuk, and where there are after all tziporim involved, because if he's going to become tameh, he's going to need tziporim. So therefore, Resh Lakish would hold that would be enough for that to constitute a neder of nezirus according to the mayor.
That's a negative. Only if it becomes
tummy. Only if it becomes tummy. But still, the point is that there are birds involved. But Rabbanan Sabri, whereas the Chachamim hold, the Chachamim hold, a person is not going to be machbis. A person is not going to take himself a neder when just because we're talking about that it's one next to the other in the pasuk. So according to them, in other words, he still has to accept the neder of Nazirus using an appropriate word. But since in other words, this is not a normal way of talking, to say tziporim and have in mind hair, which is also mentioned in that pasuk, and therefore I mean a neder that involves hair and involves tziporim, the Chacham say that's going a little too far. We can't say that he had that in mind. And even if he says he had it in mind, again, you still need piv libeshav. Okay, so the Gemara asks still. Before the Gemara asks. Okay, so that's one answer. Rabbi Yechanan says no. Everybody would agree. Even Rabbi Meir is not going to say that a person is machbis in that way, where he says the word siparim, and really he's thinking of the word seyer, which is earlier in the pasuk. Ella, I knew time that a mayor, rather the reason why the mayor says that he's chayev to become a nozer, the chayshin and shemet sipurin nozer tome kibul olav, we have to be concerned that maybe in fact he meant to accept on himself the fact that when he's a nozer tome, he will have to bring birds. So in other words, that he may be accepting on himself a neder of nezirus, that the result of it is if he becomes tome, then he will be bringing birds as a carbon. So the Gemara asks, "Mechti chayshinid kamar." Okay, but if all we're saying is that we're concerned about it, so why is he a nozer? Dumat siporin nedava kibul olav. Maybe he only accepted on himself that he's going to bring birds that are nedava, just two voluntary birds as a korban. Who says he's accepting on himself nezirus at all? And the answer is in Cain, Harela Cain, by the way. Fine, but in that case, he wouldn't have used the expression Harela siporim. He would have used the expression Harela Cain. A Cain literally means a nest. But we have, that's the common term when people are bringing voluntary korbanos of birds, especially when they're bringing birds as an oila. By definition, if you bring a korban voluntarily, it's got to be of birds. It's got to be an oila, because a chatas you can't bring voluntarily. And when people bring a pair of birds like that for an oila, they call it a cane. They call it a nest. In fact, Masech Tekinim is so named because it talks about various cases involving birds for korbanos that got mixed up. That definitely packed a punch. Anyway,
we can't say that he meant support in Adaba, because then he would have used the expression Cain. In fact, you also have actually in the Bis Mikdash, it says in Masech Shkolim, we learned it most recently at the end of Ksuvas, they had 13 boxes arranged as 13 pushkas arranged in a circle for different purposes that people were menadev korbanos and other things and machzah shekel and whatever. And one of them was labeled kinim. And in fact, they used the money in that to buy birds for korbanos for people who dropped off money in the box. So we see that the word cane was the common word for a pair of birds that are brought as carbon. The Gemara asks, "Beduma harei olai tziporim mitzora kamar." Fine, but still, maybe he means that I'm accepting on myself to bring the birds of a mitzora. So maybe, in other words, so he's saying, you know, somewhere in the world, there's bound to be a mitzora who can't afford his korbanos. He's too poor even to afford birds. A mitzora at the end of his tzaras brings, if he's rich, he brings three animals as a korban. If he's poor, he brings one animal and two birds. So maybe the person is accepting on himself, how do I like to support him? I will bring on behalf of a mitzora, some mitzora out there, I'll find a mitzora and bring the two birds on his behalf. And again, we wouldn't call that Cain necessarily, because there it's an oila and a chatas. Cain, we said before, is usually used only when you have two oilas. So uh,
And Tosfos adds that even if there's no mitzvah walking in front of him, fine, there's got to be some mitzvah out there who needs to bring birds. And the fact is, birds have more of a connection to the mitzvah. Even the first process of the mitzvah becoming tahor, the first stage of it, the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah, involves two birds and water and so forth. So like, yeah, so like birds have more of a connection to a mitzvah than they do to a nazir, where after all, a nazir is going to be bringing birds only if he became tahor. Whereas a mitzvah is,
and it's poor. Oh, no.
A mitzvah, a mitzvah. So a mitzvah, in other words, is more likely to be bringing birds because if he's poor, and many people were in those times, then he's going to be bringing birds. Whereas a nazir, it's only in the rare case that it becomes tameh that he's going to be bringing birds. So again, the question is, so maybe when he says harei let's support him, he means support him mitzvah. And again, the answer is going to show you nazir over the front of. We're talking about a nazir was walking in front of him. So therefore, now it's clear that let's say the person who made the neder knows that the person walking in front of him is in fact a nazir tahor. So he knows that that person does not. So he knows that that person is not going to be bringing birds. I skipped a line. So the answer is going to try nazir over the front of the cases he has a nazir walking in front of him. So obviously he means Nazirus rather than Saras. So the Gemara asks, Dilma Nazir Tomei, okay, but maybe that Nazir is Tomei, or the Poterim in Korban Nosef Kamar. So he means that I'm going to give him a break, I'm going to give him birds for his Korban, again, because a Nazir Tomei brings two birds plus an animal. And the answer is going to show you a Nazir Tahor over the front of. The case would be that a Nazir Tahor was walking in front of him. So he knows for a fact that this person walking in front of him is a nazir tahor, therefore there's no birds for him to bring. So obviously, therefore, he can't say, I promise that I will bring his birds on his behalf. What birds? He may never bring birds. So therefore, obviously, he means that he's going to work. So the mayor is saying that we have to be choshish that maybe he meant to accept nizirus on himself. Taking all of that together, Tziporim. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is not mentioning the point that Rish Lakish was saying as far as the posse. He's just saying the fact that he said Tziporim, which itself is part of the process of Nazirus, and there's a Nazir walking in front of him, Reb Meir says there's reason enough to be concerned that maybe he accepted on himself that I will become a Nazir, and if I become Tomei, then I will be bringing birds. So therefore, that's enough. So Reb Meir would hold, that's enough to make him a Nazir, and the Chachamim would not hold that. The Rosh has a bit of a discussion over here where he learns somewhat differently. When the Gemara started by saying Chashin and Shemet Tziporim Nazir, or we said Chashin, so the question is, I mean, okay, Chashin, we have a chashash, but it's Dover Shokul. It seems to be a 50-50 chance whether he means that or not. So how can we make him a Nazir? How can we make him a Nazir? Didn't we say before Suffolk Nazirus Lahakol? So he says, no, what the Gemara is asking like this, if we have reason to think that maybe he accepted on himself that he's going to bring support in a Dover, then he should have to bring both as a Suffolk. He should have to bring the Dover as a Suffolk, as well as maybe become a Nazir to be on the safe side. So then the Gemara is answering that no, because he for sure didn't mean Nadava, because then he would have said the word king. And then the Gemara goes on and says that when we say it's not a matter of a suffix, again, a person can't be a nazir from a suffix, but once we've gone through this whole thing, that the nazir tahor over the fun of, that then necessarily he must mean something that he's saying that if I become Tomei, I will have to bring birds, and therefore it's not a suffix anymore, therefore we can say it's more of a vada. So the Gemara asks, my benai. Okay, so we have Rish Lakish's explanation that he's referring to the pasuk, and we have Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that a nazir is going in front of him. So the Gemara asks, my benai. What's the practical difference between the two explanations? The answer is, ikka benai, we're going to amit siporin asmuchon l'seir alai. What if he explicitly said, I am accepting on myself birds that are mentioned in the pasuk in connection with hair? L'Rabbi Yochanan, afagav de amahachi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though he said that, And we have every reason to think that he means to become Nazirus. E Nazir over the front of Ain, still only if a Nazir is walking in front of him, yes, he becomes a Nazir. The Eloi Loi, and if not, then not. Ulrib Shim Ben Lakish, was according to Rish Lakish, we would say that no, afagabda in nazir l'rabshim ben lakish, afagabda in nazir over the front of, even if a nazir is not walking in front of him. In other words, he was saying Reb Meir and the Chachamim are arguing, does a person have the smichos in mind? But here, where so if he only says tiparim, does he have that smichos in mind or not? Reb Meir says yes, the Chachamim say no. But if he clearly states that he has that smichos in mind, then Reish Lakish is saying even the Chachamim would hold that he would be a nazir in that case. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan would hold that not. Even that is not enough. It's not a matter of being matvis, because a person can't be matvis with that kind of thing. It rather requires that a nazir is going in front of him. And as we said, that it's a nazir tahor.
Oh,
nazir tahor. Because otherwise it could mean that he's accepting on himself that he's going to help the guy with the expenses of bringing the birds as a carbon.
Yeah, but
still, so there still has to be a declaration that he says nazir, so not. Okay. So they want to.
So, but the same words would be a declaration for positive if he was tired, but if he's tummy, then
well, because it's all part of a package deal. If he becomes a nazir, part of that is that if he becomes tummy, he's bringing birds. So therefore, like he's saying birds. In other words, in the sense that I'm taking on a neder that the result of it can end up being that I'm going to bring birds. Yeah. Okay. So they want to ask. Okay. Now, so what are we saying? We said that according to Reish Lakish, we're saying that Reb Meir and the Chachamim are arguing whether a person is matvis b'midi to somoch lei in something that's adjacent to it in the pasuk. And according to Reb Yechanan, everybody agrees that not. So they want to ask, mi ikka lamanda omer le matvis inish b'milsa to somoch lei? Is there really such an opinion that a person is not going to be matvis in something that's nearer than a pasuk? I can give you an example to the contrary. We learn in a brisa, if a person says yamin, the right hand, then that constitutes a shvua. So in other words, let's say, we know if a person says a shvua that I won't eat this bread, and he eats it, he's chayav malchus. So now the brisa is telling us that by the same token, if a person says the right hand, I won't eat this bread, then that also constitutes a shvua. Well, that's what Gemara is going to ask. My timer, so why should that be? Lav mishum dichtiv, isn't it because you have a pasuk that mentions the right hand in connection with the shvua? Dichtiv, you have another pasuk from Daniel at the end of the sefer after the Hashem sent a malach to tell Daniel all about what's going to happen during the whole time of Golos and when Mashiach is going to come, and then Hashem tells him conceal it and write it in a very obscure way in your sefer so nobody's going to understand. So then Daniel asks, and Mosai Kates applies, how long is this hidden ketz going to be hidden? When is Mashiach already going to come? And the pasuk says by Yoram Yemino Smoile of Shemayim that the Ebishter, so to speak, lifted up his right hand, his left hand, or actually the Malach lifted up his right hand and his left hand to the heaven. By Yishava B'cheya Olam, and he swore by Hashem, the life of the world, that there is a defined time when Mashiach is going to come, and he won't delay past that. Anyway, the point is, so the word yamin is in connection with shvua, so therefore, so that shows that a person would be matfis in something that's near it in the pasuk. So why are we saying when it comes to tziporim that there's this machloikas according to Reish Lakish, whether a person is matfis with something else in the same pasuk, or according to Reb Yechanan, everybody would say that you don't. So the answer is Amri. The answer is Loi. No, that's not it. The reason is Mishum Diyamin Gufei Ikri Shvur. The word Yamin itself constitutes Shvur. Ditanya, as we learn in a Brice, Minayim La'omi Yamin Shei Shvur, Shenema Nishba Hashem Biminoi. The Pasuk says Hashem swore with his right hand, or Biminoi can actually mean with the word Yamin. So the word Yamin itself, now the truth, yeah, of course, because a person usually raises his hand when he's swearing. But the point is, we see that Nishba Hashem B'yaminoi, that Hashem is swearing with his Yamin, with the word Yamin. So it's not just a matter of being matchless. The word Yamin itself is a synonym for Shavua. And how do we know that the word smoil also, what if he were to say smoil that I won't eat this loaf of bread? How do we know that also constitutes a shvua? Shenema uvizroya uzo. The same pasuk continues that Hashem swore with the arm of his power. So first of all, one explanation is, in other words, that since it says yamin, then obviously the other arm by implication must be the left. The other point is the word oiz refers to tefillin. So therefore, Bizroya Uzay means the hand on which Hashem, Kavyachal, wears tefillin, and therefore it means that Hashem is also swearing with his left hand, Kavyachal, as well.
Is there a pasuk
we have it in Kabbalah Shabbos, but that's not directly related to that now. But the point is that we see that the word yamin and the word smol, it's not just that they're associated with a shavua in the pasuk. We see that they themselves actually constitute a word of a shavua. So therefore, that doesn't show that a person might be matfis. So it's one thing for a person to say yamin or smol, which means a shavua. It's another thing for a person to say tziporim, which in the pasuk, it's in connection with hair, and therefore you're going to make that connection according to the Shlokish's understanding of Rav Meir, yes, and the Chachamim, no, and according to Rav Yechanan, not according to either one of them.
Because all over Shas, you see that the people they learn out when it's the same pasuk.
But we have to remember we're talking Loshim Le'adam here, but the Dorim Holochacha Loshim Le'adam. So the question is whether for Loshim Le'adam is going to do that kind of thing, and the answer is we don't really have a proof one way or the other, because the fact that we're learning about Yamin and Smol doesn't necessarily show. Yamin and Smol themselves are an expression of Shavua. That doesn't necessarily follow from that the same thing would apply to other words which don't themselves constitute a Shavua. We're just saying that they're kind of in connection with it. So there is a discussion among the poskim, by the way, when the person says yamin, does he need to use a name of Hashem or a kinui of Hashem in connection with it? Tosfos says that not, just the word yamin itself constitutes a shvur. The Rambam says the same thing. The Bach actually learns the Rambam to be saying that the same way as a person says a shvur, really it's not enough. We'll learn Masechta Shvur. It's a couple of years from now, Be'ez Hashem. Just saying a shvur that I will or won't do such and such is not really enough. There needs to be a shame of Hashem, or there needs to be a kinui involved. So it would be also over here with Yamin and Smol. There would have to be that he says Yamin of Hashem or something like that, or in order for it to be a valid shvur. A neder, we said, doesn't necessarily require Hashem's name, but a shvur but a shvur does.
There's someone different thing that we shouldn't use Hashem's name because it might be
right, but the fact is, a shavua, just to say shavua itself doesn't necessarily constitute. It might be a yad, it might work as a yad, but not as a full fledged shavua. Okay.